Welcome back, guys, to episode number 60 of the Sweet Science Podcast with your boy, Fat Mouse. Who else we got in here?
I'm Cash with a K and not a...
Lovely. What's going on, mum?
Nothing much, man. Just enjoyed a great weekend of combat sports as we usually do.
Every weekend is a great weekend of combat
sports. It's getting better and better.
It's good news, man. I like that.
That's why I'm enjoying 2023 so far. Absolutely. All we've had is great fight after great fight. And super announcements and after exactly. Super announcements. And speaking of announcements,
Anthony Joshua, aka AJ, he's announced his comeback fight, which is on the 1st of April in London's O2 Arena. Is it London's O2 Arena? He's not fought there for quite a while. It's a smaller scale fight to what he's used to, and the reason is obviously off the back of his previous two losses back to back. To Usyk. He's now coming back to an opponent who has been announced, and there was, you know, we kind of knew it was coming. Tell us a bit about the opponent, Cash.
So yeah, AJ will step into the ring against Jermaine Franklin, April 1st, as Mouse already said. 21-1, previous fight was not so long ago, a couple of months ago, against none other than Dillian White. Arguably could have gone in his favour. A lot of people had him winning.
Yep.
Relatively unknown on the world stage before that fight, but obviously he was undefeated, tough American, good fighter, solid foundations, and he's just very good technically sound and efficient with his punches. Put on a great performance against Dillian White. There was talk of the rematch, but he's ended up somehow getting himself into a bigger, more lucrative bout, I guess. Mm-hmm. Against the returning Anthony Joshua. Good fight for Joshua on his comeback, I think. I think people giving him a bit of stick, saying, oh, it's Jermaine Franklin, just come for us. Yeah. But it's unnecessary. The guy's fought back-to-back. He's been in since, I can't remember exactly what it is, but he's had like 12, 13 more title fights in a row. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the first time he won't be fighting for or defending a world title in about 6 years or something crazy.
It's insane.
He's been at the top for a very long time. He's fought everyone and anyone that's come his way. And again, sometimes you need it for a confidence builder, something to get the momentum going again. And I don't think it's going to be an easy fight. Not at all. I think mm-hmm. Jermaine Franklin's going to come. I think Jermaine Franklin probably has more confidence knowing what he did against Dillian.
Yep.
Now he can go in against AJ, who looks more beatable than ever.
Yeah.
We on our TikTok page, we posted a little clip from the press conference where AJ confirmed that he will be now trained by Derek James. Oh, sorry. That was not meant to happen. I think AJ got angry at me for exposing where he's going to be, but he's going to be in Texas, right?
Yeah, Texas with Derek James, like you said. Good choice of trainer. Is it a good choice to keep switching trainers? I don't think so. I think you need to find your groove with somebody. But the problem is, if you change trainer and you lose that first fight with that trainer, there's no desire to say, okay, let's find out. You want to keep finding a problem. And perhaps you're saying, the problem isn't me. Or the problem is our chemistry. So let me change it up for somebody else. And you can keep doing that till you find nobody. You may never find anybody because you might just be on a continuous skid. Obviously, that's not likely, but I don't think it's a great idea to keep jumping trainers. I think this is a good choice. I think they need a bit of time. 1st of April is around the corner, so maybe it's not the most amount of time, but he has spent some time there in the first place just getting ready for it. So hopefully there's a chemistry there that's built up. Hopefully there's a good relationship and Derek's able to see what AJ can work on and communicate that. Eddie made a good point. He goes, AJ likes to be told what to do. Do it, so do this, and he'll do it. Yeah. So if that's the case, then yes, this is a good choice of trainer because we can trust in his ability as a trainer and his competency as a trainer to highlight flaws and not just flaws but strengths and capitalize on the strengths and work on the flaws and improving them. You mentioned the opponent, Jermaine Franklin, and I think whoever AJ were to fight against next, people would have said, oh, that's stupid. You know, if he were to fight Tyson Fury and win, that's the only possibility where he'd get any sort of credit, any sort of ratings. If he were to fight Tyson Fury next now and lose. Oh, he was always a bum. Okay, so let me take on a challenger or a challenge that is a bit easier to overcome and
more roads to victory.
Yeah, and let me work on myself. But even if he went five places lower down in a ranking or something like that, you understand me? For a lesser opponent, it's fine. You're on a comeback. I'm not really on this. You've got to always be fighting the best. You can't be on 100% all the time. Do you get me? No. You can't be on 100% all the time. So you can't be fighting the best after the best after. But AJ has done that. And when he lost against Ruiz, what did he do? He made the necessary changes and came back. Usyk might just have his number, and that's not a problem. Usyk is an incredibly skilled boxer. AJ knows that he's learning on the job. He admits that he's learning on the job, and that's absolutely fine. He's not born into this fighting from childhood. Do you get me? It's not been his thing from young. But it has been for Usyk. If anything, that's like Usyk's way out of whatever life he was living as a kid. Do you get me? So it's a tough one. It's a tough one to say, you know, that's a bad opponent or a bad choice, easy, or he's gonna get knocked out. But we posted it on TikTok, like you said, and everyone's saying, oh, good luck trying to win that one. So they're already writing him off, yeah, AJ. Or saying, easy fight, he's picking it easy. Like, everybody's got a different opinion. It just does not end. Do you get me? Mm-hmm. So give him a break. I'm not a huge fan of AJ. I'm not a huge fan. He's brilliant for the sport, though. He is brilliant for the actual, like, the commercial side of the sport and the casual side of boxing. He's really good. Do you get me? But as a boxer, we know he's not amazing. He knows he's not the best ever, skill-wise. But he's got a mental fortitude which allows him to overcome things, you know? And that's how he got to the top. And that's how he remained there for so long. And he was able to do title fight after title fight after, you know, challenge himself again and again and again and again. Let him take a break. You know, I don't.
And do you know what's crazy is you're saying the word break like this is an easy touch. It's not an easy fight.
Exactly what I'm saying.
People don't understand that when you're used to seeing guys dispatch lower name fighters, it becomes a norm. So anyone that you see who's not a big name comes in, you're like, well, I'm just going to dispatch them. Mm-hmm. But these guys are making their way up the same way AJ and Dillian White did exactly. When they weren't the big names. The only reason we know them is because we're from the country and they got this marketing push. In America, there's a million Jermaine Franklins out there. Mm-hmm. Like, in terms of ability,
exactly.
Skill.
People that will give them a challenge.
Mental fortitude, like you said, yeah. The hunger and the desire, but they just, no one knows them. They're not being pushed. Yeah. There's no marketing tool unless you're a cash cow or you come from the Olympic, you've got an Olympic pedigree. Some sort of, you know, selling point is very difficult in the States, especially to become known in boxing. Because there is it's so normal. Everyone boxes in America from young, that's their way out of poverty. That's their way out of, you know, I can't remember who said it once. I think it was during a Chris Algieri, Manny Pacquiao, HBO. What they used to called their HBO's All Access 24/7.
Yeah, oh, I still loved it.
He was saying, like, you know, I didn't have to box. You know, I came from like a pretty middle class family. Yeah. A lot of these boxers come from nothing. That's all they, like, you know, like Brony used to say, water and cereal. Like, it's legit. It's serious. Like, people actually go through this. So that's why they are so hungry. And you think they want to come and just come for a paycheck? Mm. You must be insane. It's not. Listen, you get guys who do that, but when it comes to going up against one of the biggest names in the world, it changes everything. Look at Andy Ruiz. That one win, that's all he's had since then.
Yeah
he's had a couple comeback fights and stuff, but that one AJ win set him up for life.
That it did. And the thing is, again, so we'll go back to the Andy Ruiz fight, right? Andy Ruiz was laughed at because of the way he looks and whatnot. He is a solid boxer. He's so skilled. For his size, he's super fast. He's agile for a fat boy. Do you know what I mean? Not just for a fat boy, for a heavyweight, which is his division. He's agile. He's faster than some of the, you know, the more, you know, or the better physique fighters. So
he's got, he's much
just
faster.
Don't write people off because you don't know them. That's not how it works. Do you know what I mean? Mm. The problem is, though, we're so used to padded records and, oh, he's 21 and 0 or 20 and 0. So then, okay, but everybody's got a padded record now. So now I don't know how to distinguish between a legitimate good fighter and someone who's just had a padded record and who's looking good on paper, but maybe not so. It doesn't translate to a great, you know, a great fighter in the ring.
See, what I understand is, I get it from the fan's perspective. I'm a fan myself. I'm a fan number one. Mm. That's what I am before anything else. And I get it from the perspective of, we've seen Anthony Joshua at the top of the game, world title fight, world title fight, world title fight, big name, Wembley Stadium, Wembley Stadium, yeah. Wembley Stadium. And so we'd all expect straight away, Deontay Wilder or Tyson Fury next. It has to be the top, has to be the top. But that's not how life works. That's not how boxing works. It's impossible to fight constantly at that level. Look, when Tyson Fury came back, listen, when Tyson Fury came back, Otto Wallin, and
the other guy's name,
the what's his name, Seferin,
yeah,
Safari, Seferin, or he was suffering in that fight. But you know, these guys need that. He jumped in against Wilder,
yeah. Big the jump. Argument there is, okay, but he took years off. He put on mad weight. He was completely...
I'm just giving an example. It's just... But, you know, it's like when Floyd fought the likes of, like, Andre Berto, for example. I know it's at the end of his career and his last fight. He didn't really care. But you get it. Manny Pacquiao fought Chris Algieri. Chris Algieri had a world title, but, you know, who was Chris Algieri at the time? He got in there and got knocked down 7 times in that fight. It happens. You get these times in fights. And I think that was... Manny was maybe after getting knocked out by Marquez.
Yeah.
So he needed to rebuild. It happens in these in elite careers.
I don't know.
But came after it was definitely after that. It might have been after one of the Timothy Bradley fights.
Yeah.
But you need that. And everybody deserves that, especially when you've been fighting at the top for so long and you've gone in with everyone. He's never ducked anyone.
That's it. This is exactly it. This is it. Like, even when there was talk of the step aside money for Fury Usyk, and AJ was like, might consider that. Everyone's like, oh, look at him. Step aside, man, and let them do it. And like, I understand you're a fighter. I understand you're doing it not just for the money, and you know, you're doing it for the glory as a fighter. But if he were to step aside, so what? Mm. Like, let them fight for it, and then I'll step in and clean up the, you know, clean up the mess, pick up the pieces.
100%.
And like, nobody will be happy. There'll be no situation will everybody be happy with. Do you get me? You can't please everybody. So, but nobody's pleased. With this, nobody's pleased. If he wins, oh, he beat a bum. If he loses, oh, you know, oh, you know, you lost a factory worker. Bruv, come on. It's frustrating for me. And like, who am I? Do you get me? Mm-hmm. But it's frustrating. Like, just give him a break. Let him come back slowly. I mean, the next fight is potentially going to be Dillian White. Don't we want to see that? Are you dispatched of him already? Okay. But he nearly lost, firstly. He nearly lost that fight. Dillian White is probably an easier fight now than he was before. But it's still a good fight. They're both easier fights now, mentally. Exactly. You know? And again,
both
on paper.
They both think they're beatable.
Yeah.
They both
realise now they're not invincible.
Yeah. And it's a fun fight. It's a domestic clash. It's a big fight here.
Yeah.
Why not? Well, of course we want to see it. Yeah. Everybody needs that time to come back, recuperate, learn things. Again, we mentioned it before. He's with Derek James now. Might take him 1, 2, 3 fights to find his rhythm before he wants to jump in there with Tyson Fury or Deontay Wilder. Yeah. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. He jumped in to the deep end very quickly in his career. It was very early on. 16-0 when he fought for his first world title.
Yeah.
When he beat Charles Martin for the IBF world title. Mm. And since then it was world title fight, world title class opponents.
Yeah.
Straight away.
Literally.
So yeah, it happens. Jermaine Franklin is tough. We've seen what he did against Dillian White. We know how good he is.
That's the saving grace for this fight.
Arguably, he could still be undefeated. We could be looking at a 22-0 guy instead of 21-1.
Yeah.
You know,
if he beat Dillian White, then if officially beat Dillian White, then people wouldn't complain. But we saw the account he made of himself and how close the fight was. Dillian White got that fight. Brilliant. Skin of his teeth, but still. That makes for a bigger rematch there. But why can't we just say, all right, cool. We saw that fight. We know what he's capable of. He's not just a factory worker.
He's not just any guy that they found. Exactly.
But people just want to do this.
Yeah.
It's just annoying, bruv.
It happens. Anyway. It happens.
Yeah, man. So, looking forward to that fight.
Yeah, 100%. Before we... what were we going to say?
I was going to say he's in a different space now mentally. I don't know if he's in a great space. I don't know. You know? I don't know if he's in a good place or in a bad place mentally, but he's... he just wants to go for, like when he said, Eddie Hearn asked him, what's your motivation? He goes, money. I just want money. It's very deep when you think about it, because he's not just saying, he didn't just say money and that's it, I'm only fighting for the money. He explained why. And it's so true. Look how many people turned on him after these two back-to-back losses. Really and truly, your fans are supposed to be like, actually, we're behind you, big man. Like, I understand you've lost twice to the same guy, and that's tough. This guy's probably got your number. You did much better the second time, but still wasn't enough. Like, what more can you do? We understand you need to build up. And if it means taking the championship from somebody else, taking the title belts from somebody else, so be it. Because this guy's not for you. Everybody's beatable. And if Usyk's the guy that is the AJ beater, then you have to just leave it. I would have no issue with him having a third fight later on down the line. But it would need about 3, 4, 5 fights before he can do that. And if he beats him again, then we have to understand that's it, Kalas. You get me? But if he doesn't, if he beats Usyk, or if he at least gets the opportunity to fight Usyk and then, you know, then be happy for the guy.
Yeah.
Not, just always negative. We're so negative. Anyway, my rant is done, bruv. That's really what I'm trying to say. What are you trying to say?
No, I was going to say, similar to what you said, I think he realised how fickle fans can be,
mm-hmm.
especially in the sport of boxing, where, you know, when you're high and everyone's behind you, you have a few lows, and they're not big lows. He lost to Alexander Usyk. It's not like he just got knocked out by some random guy who no one's ever heard of. He lost to arguably one of the top 5 pound-for-pound fighters on the planet right now, and will go down as one of the greats.
Literally,
100%. No shame in that, but people turn on him. People said he's always been this. He's never, you know. So you disregard and
discredit
exactly what he's done before, building up to that moment because he fought someone who's better than him and lost.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
It took me a long time to accept that AJ is actually world class.
Yeah,
it took me a long time because I said, he took the easiest route to the title. But okay, but that's what you do. Do you get me? That's what you do. You got to build up. You got to get the experience and the confidence. It took me a long time. And I remember I would be like telling people, this guy's dead, man. Just watch him going to get exposed. And he didn't. And then he didn't. And then he didn't. And I'm like, wow, this guy's finally legit. And actually, you know, when it happened after the first loss to Ruiz, I was like, there you go. You see that? But you can see there was something up with him. 100% there was something wrong with him that day. But he lost the fight either way. Then he came back and he made the changes that were necessary. And again, everyone's going to say, but Ruiz put on weight and he wasn't trying. Maybe that's the case. But what we have to go by clearly, evidently, was that the changes were made. AJ came in lighter, moved around more because this guy moves around. The changes were made. That shows that he could watch back, understand where he went wrong and implement the right changes. Do you get me? That's when I said, this guy, he's a student of the game, like he always says he is. Because he learned how to make the changes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's it. I think you were going to say something.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, before we switch topics, just remember, guys, we are the Sweet Science Podcast, the best podcast around. And we need you to comment down below. Make sure you share this video with everyone. Share all our videos. Share the channel around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, thumbs up. Please hit the thumbs up. And also do subscribe.
Just trying to...
All the socials will be below. Socials, you can catch us on the TikTok, Instagram. Just follow, share. Your support is really
enough for that, mate. Your support is appreciated. I cut you off there. Your support is appreciated, so please do that. But enough of that, mate. Okay, we've got lots to talk about now that we turn our heads to Australia. G'day, mate. Let's throw shrimp on the barbie. So dead. But what an event. UFC 284 took place in Perth, Australia. Yeah? Australia. And... what a mazza. So the fight was, let's start with the co-main event, right?
Yeah,
co-main event was a fantastic fight. I'm not going to lie. Two guys that were quite different in styles. Very different. Very, very different. And even in the fight itself, you saw two very different styles. Josh Emmett was very much heavy, come forward and just like...
a brute.
He's a brute. He came in looking like a brute. In fact, kind of like a ginger version of me, yeah?
Yeah.
But... and he had moments of success, and he was going against Yair Rodriguez for the interim featherweight title.
Sorry.
Go for it.
His name's not Yair, his name's...
Yeah, Rodriguez. Now Rodriguez is his brother.
He looks like Josh Emmett. I look like a heavyweight Rodriguez. So, What a fight.
It was a good fight.
It was a classic case of two very different styles going out. It was about speed versus power. And
It was
a masterclass.
Bro.
It was a
In the time that Josh Emmett threw his like one big punch, Yair's come in, 1, 2, 3 and stepped out. He was so fluid.
Ninja.
I was so impressed. I was like, this guy.
But we've known this for a long time about it. Yair.
It's nice to see though. Because him versus Max, was a brawl.
Mm.
And Yair had some really good moments. And actually, according to some, he won that fight, you know? Some people believed he won that fight, and I get it. But this one was quite clear cut. He got hit a few times, he got rocked a few times, could have got taken out. He didn't. Made the right changes in the cage, in the round, to turn it around. And they both rocked each other a couple of times. But just the speed, it was like you said, like a ninja. You know, who come in, step back out. Beautiful. That is my kind of thing. You get me? Like, that is my kind of fighting. I like that. What a performance.
It was beautiful. He was in and out. He was razor sharp, razor fast. Emmett looked lost in there, lost for ideas, didn't know what to do. He kept loading up. I think he's just getting frustrated.
Yeah.
And we were only in the first round.
Yeah.
We got into the second, and that was when, obviously, the end came when, again, Josh was loading up with so many shots, just trying to take him out. And I get that. That's his MO.
Yeah.
He's a beast. He's an actual, he's a tank. But the speed, the movement was causing puzzles, and he just couldn't fit it together. He didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And in the end, obviously, Yair got him in the triangle choke. I think the way it ended, the last stanza was he tried to go for a kick or a strike, missed it, got taken down.
Yeah.
And as he was down there, Yair used it to his benefits, moved around, and then got him to a triangle choke. Beautiful.
4 minutes, 19 seconds. So actually close to the end of the second. And that's what I was just checking now, if I'm completely honest, because I felt like it was in the third round. But that's just because towards the end of the second is when it took place. And I was like, man, this is a fight, man. Like, it was incredibly tense. It was beautiful to watch. Seeing the fact that Yair could get knocked out at any moment by Josh Emmett. And then seeing Yair coming in.
And piecing him up.
Piecing him up and just stepping out of range. And it was so beautiful. And again, it just shows me that skills.
It is genuinely that. It was that, like you said, it was so much tension. It was like on thin ice, just waiting for something to happen to explode, because it's one of those ones. It's that speedster versus that power guy. It's just, he's going to skate around, he's going to dance, he's going to move. But if he gets cracked, he's going to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just about Yair, that's about both men. It's not just about Yair. Yair could knock him out as well. It was just a great fight.
What a fight. What a fight. And that kind of sets the tone for the next fight. The tension that was in the air. For the main event, Alexander Volkanovski, king of the featherweight division, moving up to lightweight to take on the king of the lightweight division, Islam Makhachev, pound for pound number one versus pound for pound number two in his hometown, in Volkanovski's hometown of Australia anyway, not Perth, but in Australia. I don't know, like, for the longest, I was thinking, I kept this in my head, and I was like, Volkanovski can very, there's a high chance of Volkanovski taking this fight. And it was purely down to, obviously, he's a phenomenal fighter, but it's more about his mental, I'm not going to use fortitude again, but like his mentality, do you understand? Going into fight, he's positive with it. He's so sure of himself, his certainty. Do you get it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not enough. But when you have the skills to back it, it certainly plays a massive, massive role. So I was having that conversation, like in my head, I was saying, this guy is really going to take that belt and say, I told you guys I could do it.
Mm.
Then just before like the evening of the fight, I was like, you know what? Because I usually say the person who is always so sure of themselves, I usually edge towards them for some reason. Yeah, that's a dead logic. Don't go by my logic. I'm going to say that it's actually Islam who's going to win. Do you remember I said this? And I said, I'm going to say that because I don't want to be fooled by the opponent's positive surety. Yeah? really and truly, that was the closest fight. Number one. So apart from Volk fans, nobody expected it to look like that. Okay? I don't think anybody expected it to look like that, to be honest, because it was a strange... We saw Islam striking in all its glory, if you like, because people had question marks on it. But then we also saw Volk's wrestling in all his glory and all its glory because people had question marks on it.
Mm.
So it was like, this is my kryptonite versus your kryptonite. And they both clashed and it was so close. And if I'm honest, I'd say Volk's wrestling kryptonite was more powerful than Islam's striking kryptonite. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I understand what you're trying to say.
Because I was so shocked.
Yeah, I was
so shocked. He held on. Like, control time is something. But when you're in control and you're just chilling, really, which is what Islam did a few times, in control and not able to progress, not able to do much more with it, and he was trying, it's like, man, he's really a lot better than we expected in the wrestling field or in the wrestling department. So yeah, tell us how the fight went, because I've given it away.
Well, it went how no one expected it, really.
Yeah.
It was a unanimous decision victory for Islam Makhachev, who now becomes the pound-for-pound king. Question marks over that still, but retains his undisputed UFC lightweight title. I wasn't scoring the fight live.
Yeah.
It was too difficult to score. I was too...
tense.
Yeah.
I was too tense to try and score that.
My heart was pounding. I was sweating. I was nervous. I don't know why, but I just felt so emotionally invested into that bout.
100%. 100%.
And it was nerve-wracking. It was an absolute showcase of elite mixed martial arts.
Yep. Yeah.
Not grappling, not striking.
It was MMA.
It was elite MMA from the start to the end. Honestly, though, it was.
Yeah.
It was. And MMA is not just about the physical side of it. It's mentality.
Yeah.
Two guys with winning mentalities, all they know is winning.
Yeah, yeah.
Both have one loss on their record, but they haven't lost in a very long time. Both basically... all they know is how to win and don't take a step back. Yeah? That's all they do. So to have two guys with winning mentalities, guys who are practically unbreakable with their minds, and then have the physical capabilities, the physical capacity to do what they did for five rounds, yes, they got tired. Yes, they were drained. Arms, the lactic acid was building and, you know, They're looking at the clock. Both of them did it numerous times throughout the fight. It was just a fantastic showpiece, showcase event. It was such a great fight.
What a fight.
It lived up to the hype.
It exceeded the hype.
The
fact that it went to points was more tense, but...
Listen.
Islam fans would have been upset with Volk winning, and Volk fans were upset when Islam won.
Yeah.
Easily.
Listen, from a neutral's perspective, it was, if you've never watched the sport and you wanted to get into the sport, those are the two guys you wanted to watch fight each other, because it just gave you everything. It gave you heart, grit, determination and skill. You got all of it in one. And like I said, so I was touching on it before, I didn't score the fight, but when I finished watching the fight, I said to myself, I said to Miles, I said, listen, I think we're getting a bit carried away with how good Volkanovski was, because a lot of people said he won the fight. He didn't win the fight. I'm going to say that very confidently, chest out. Volkanovski lost the fight. Islam Makhachev won that bout. We're looking at a 25-minute mixed martial arts fight event bout. He didn't lose that. I'm sorry, but he didn't.
Okay.
And again, it's all about emotions. You get emotionally invested into bouts. So Volkanovski defending takedowns or defending shots or getting back up on his feet. Yeah, he won brownie points. Doesn't win you points in the fight, though. Mm-hmm. You're surprised. Oh, he got up. Yeah, he got up. But what did he do? He didn't take him down at all. Yeah, he threw more shots and might have landed a few more because he threw. But the connection, the accuracy rate... I remember Makhachev rocking Volk's head back numerous times in that fight. Yeah. I never really saw Volk, apart from a couple jabs here and there, and then a couple times Islam was off balance. We know he's not the best striker. Yeah, he's improved a lot, but again, his footwork's a bit all over the place. Yeah. So whenever he's striking, he's a bit all over the gaff and he's falling over and tripping up. Apart from round five where he got knocked down, you know, Volk didn't really land anything meaningful in the stand-up department. And that's why he kept nodding his head every time he got hit with a punch or an elbow or a knee. He was acknowledging, right, this guy's beating me at my own game here. And obviously, when Makhachev took him down, you would expect for that just to be it. Everyone expected that. Even the moment, I said it to Mouse as well. I was like, listen, everyone says it before they fight Makhachev or Khabib, these Dagestani beasts. You know, don't worry, man, their strength isn't superhuman. I could get up. But Volk did it. And in any other sport, when you've got the two best going up against each other, whether that's boxing, football, tennis, you know, any sport, you've got the NBA, you've got some of the best sports in the world, the top sports in the world, and you've got number one and number two going up against each other, this is what you should expect.
Yeah, expect it to go to the wire. You're right.
Don't look at weight. Don't look at, you know, length, reach, size. These things don't matter when your elite skills pay the bills. When you rely solely on that, when it's one and two in the world, you're pound for pound, not in the division, pound for pound. We're talking every division. Expect that. And I think a lot of us were guilty of underestimating Volk in this fight just because of, you know, the aura behind Makhachev. If you really strip away that aura, if Makhachev was from the United States, basically, and he wasn't from Dagestan, you know, he didn't have this... This, you know, this scary ice cold feel about them, would we react the same way if he was a super grappler from the United
States? You're right. No, we wouldn't. But that's because we know what...
It's the boogeyman status.
Yeah, the boogeyman status. Khabib came over with this style, showed us that there is an air of invincibility. And then he brought over a bag of these Russians with him who have a similar air of invincibility. Obviously, they are touchable. Obviously, there are, like Volk showed us today, on this weekend, there are answers for his style. But at the same time, I have to say, I agree with you to an extent, yeah? And I do need to separate the fact that Islam is not unbeatable and say that, okay, just because he got taken down and came back up doesn't mean that he... won that round. He still got taken down.
Are you talking about Volkanovski?
Yeah. He still got taken down. In some rounds, several times. Do you get me? Still get taken down. But he is coming back up. That is demoralizing to Islam. The last round was close. As in, like, it was close to the end.
Being demoralizing doesn't win you fights.
Exactly. So I'm with you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And a lot of people are going to be like, oh, you lot are biased, whatever. There's no real bias here. You have to say that Volk gave Islam the best fight or the best challenge.
If anyone says biased, you're smoking something really good. There's no biased opinion here. I enjoy watching Volkanovski fights more than I watch Makhachev fights. I've been watching Volkanovski for a very long time. I think he's amazing. I genuinely think that he is going to go down as one of the greatest fighters of all time. Yeah. Not just featherweight history, history. Every bit of his skill set is well-rounded and he can do everything. He's fast, he's strong, he's powerful.
For a square guy, for like a...
Just everything about him.
Like an ox, he's fast.
I just think what happened is a clear sign of respecting one another's strengths and then kind of doubting your own. Both of them did that. I think Makhachev really underestimated Volk's strength and size. Mm-hmm. Because, Volk, he's shorter, but he's a big, chunky guy. Big tree trunk legs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's already basically on the ground anyway. So trying to grab him and
throw him to down the ground, to where he already is.
It's very difficult. Like, you know, it's a molehill. Like, you know, it's a mole in the, what is it called?
I don't know.
What you know what I'm talking about?
It's
the,
a molehill, yeah.
Is that like,
a molehill?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's just already there.
He's already there.
Yeah, he's just slightly off the ground.
It's how you're going to... He's already down there.
It's true.
So it's difficult. It's really difficult to get them down. So, and other way around, I think because Volkanovski really, really, really respected Islam's abilities on the ground and his grappling, that he shied away from his striking, shied away from exchanging a bit more, getting in there, getting in the fire, because he's like, I'm going to get taken down here. Let me not do it. So it was a bit of not complacency. That's the wrong word.
That's not the word.
But it was a reluctancy from both ends.
Yeah.
They were both reluctant. I think if they do a rematch, I think the rematch will be even better. I think we'll come in and we'll see Volkanovski throw a lot more shots.
Yeah.
I think we'll see Makhachev grapple a lot more.
A lot more than he already did.
Yeah, I think
there was
so.
A lot of grappling in there.
I think he was I think
to knock him out. He wanted to beat him at his own game.
Honestly, yeah. It's not even that. I just think in general, like he said he didn't underestimate him, but I don't think he took him lightly, but subconsciously he thought, once I get him, I've got him. Mm-hmm. I've got his number. And that must have been draining. But again, we mentioned it. Yeah, it's demoralizing. It may be draining, but it doesn't win you the fight. It doesn't lose you the fight.
Facts.
If we look at it, strip away the emotionality to it, strip away our feelings towards each fighter and if we like them or not, and their styles are boring or their styles are great, get rid of that and watch a mixed martial arts fight. Volkanovski didn't win. In my opinion, anyway. I might be wrong. Thing, Who am I to discuss it?
Look, yeah. If they said Volkanovski won, I'd be like, ooh, it's close, so I can see either way. But then I know that I say this a lot.
Makhachev landed the cleaner shots, the harder shots, and took him down, and had more control time.
As well.
Where did Volkanovski win?
It's true. The
he threw more shots.
And that's not a...
He threw more shots, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
But what were you hitting?
Islam landed more, right? He landed more.
Yeah, his accuracy was higher, higher. He threw less, but landed more. He took him down 4 out of 7 times.
One second. I want to clarify one small point here. Threw less and landed more percentage-wise, or threw... Let's just say he threw 100. He didn't. Let's say he threw 100, but he landed 80%. So he landed 80. But Volkanovski threw 200... and landed 120.
Mm.
Okay, obviously the percentage works is in Islam's favor, but who landed more is Volkanovski. Who landed more?
Volkanovski.
Apparently. He landed more.
Apparently, yeah.
But then that's again. There's one point as well.
But who's being
was
more
it consistently
efficient?
Round after round, or was there a round again?
But again, it's how you score things.
It's
isn't
how
it?
You score it's things. You score round by round. So if it's gonna be, let's just say he landed 20% of those in one. Well, 20% is
that's what
is
I'm saying.
Ah, oh, man. Okay.
It's difficult because you could look at it on the grand scheme of things and be like, oh, Volk won the fight because of the 5th round alone.
No,
but that's not how fights. But that's not how fights scored. Yeah. You used to score it round by round. And I used to say it a lot in boxing, 3 minutes. I've seen a lot of fighters coast for 2.5 minutes and throw all their shots in that last 30 seconds.
Because that's what sticks in the
and then they win the round. But you can't get rid of the 2 minutes and 30 seconds before that. It's like, you can't. It's not how you score a round.
Yeah.
But that's what wins some in some guys' eyes, wins a fight. But there's another example. If I knock you down in a round, I'm talking about boxing right now, because obviously knockdowns count as points. If I knock you down in that round, but I severely put a beating on you for that round, you batter me for that whole round, right at the end I catch you with a knockdown.
That's tough though, but that's gonna be.
It gets scored a 9-9, no?
Yeah. But
it won't. It'll get done as a 10-9 because of the knockdown. It should be a 9-9.
It should be a 9-9, and I think
you beating me pillar to post,
100%,
and I get a flash knockdown. You go down, you get back up. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Of course I do. Of course.
I don't know, man. It's one of those things. It depends how you score the fight. But if you look at it from a neutral, no, you're not a fan of Volk. You're not a fan of Makhachev. You look at the fight itself. Yeah, Volkanovski did great, but he did better than what we expected. So we're giving him more credit than he's actually due.
And
but he said in the post fight, he said in the post fight press conference himself, no one gave me a chance. I gave myself that.
Yeah,
I gave it. Yeah. He knew he was going to win. He said I was going to win. He was fuming that he didn't win.
Yeah.
He wasn't fuming at the judges. He said, don't blame the judges. It's my fault.
Yeah.
I should have done more.
Yeah,
he didn't.
Yeah.
Because if he genuinely believed he won, genuinely in his heart of hearts he believed he won, there would have been some part of him saying, them judges effed me over, or that's I should true. Have walked away.
Check it out. Remember this as well. Round three. Yeah, the end of round three, Eugene Behrman goes, it was wrong because he didn't have three rounds left, but he goes, you've got to get these last three.
Yeah.
Yeah? He meant you've got to get these last two, which means that he knew that there was it was at least very close, if not...
He was losing.
He was losing. And then Volkanovski repeated what Eugene said. He goes, I've got to get these last three, yeah? Mm. I've got to get these last three. And he was kind of, it was like a mantra, I've got to get these last three. Last two, yes, the mistake was how many rounds were left, but what he's trying to say is...
You basically got to win the rest of the fight.
You're at risk of losing.
Yeah.
So they
you've got to pull out the bag.
And it's funny because Volkanovski said that about Islam. He was like, I want the rematch. He said, I heard someone in his corner saying that, I want a rematch, which told me he knows he lost the fight.
But that doesn't necessarily mean
exactly.
that.
Exactly, it just means it was such a good fight, I want to do it again.
Or... I could do better. I still won the fight, but I could batter you.
That's a good point.
It doesn't make sense to me. I didn't understand that. Volkanovski is a very smart guy.
Yeah.
Very intelligent guy. I never got that point. I get what he's trying to say.
No, it's easy to understand what he means. He just means that it sounded like if you tell me you want a rematch straight away, that means you're not happy with the outcome that you're about to hear.
Yeah.
If you're not happy with your performance, you talk about it later. You don't talk about it immediately before it's been announced.
Yeah, you could do that, but you could say that straight. I don't know. I could pop back up as soon as fifth round's done and be like, you know, I was terrible with these five rounds, man, yeah, but I could do so much better. But I know I beat you.
It's true.
It doesn't matter though, because this is going to go on in the comment section for time, and people are going to argue about it for ages. We got two elite fighters, number one and number two, going up against each other. I want an immediate rematch. I don't want to see Makhachev fight anyone else in lightweight division, and I don't want to see Volkanovski fight Yair Rodriguez just yet. I want to see an immediate rematch.
It does
rematch.
Make sense to have an immediate rematch.
Do it now. It doesn't make sense to do it down the line. Both going to be older, both going to be more vulnerable to losing. The timing of it right now makes sense. No one expected the fight to end the way it did.
Yeah, so let's continue those. Let's go into the next round now, basically.
Capitalize on what's happened. Yeah. Capitalize on the fact that Volkanovski proved everybody wrong.
Yeah.
And prove... one of these guys is a clear-cut pound-for-pound king, because it's still up to debate. Don't get it twisted. I don't think Makhachev did enough to claim pound-for-pound supremacy. 100%. I'm saying he won the fight, but he didn't claim. He didn't come and say, I'm by far the greatest fighter of all time. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, greatest fighter of the planet right now. Nah, I don't think so. And I don't think Volkanovski did enough at home as well to come and take the title from the lightweight king. He didn't do enough. You got to stamp that. We say it in combat sports in general. You need to take the title from the champion.
Yeah, yeah. It's not enough to just... The fact that it went to points and it wasn't, you know, a 50-45 or a 50, you know, 49-46 it was. But as in, like, you know what I mean? And the other way around, it kind of... The rounds were so close. So by default, it kind of goes towards the champion, because you have to make a statement. You get it? I don't know why I said it like that. You have to make a statement.
But it's true though. You have to put that statement all in exclamation marks.
There you go.
Just everywhere on each side. Boom, 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 boom.
I didn't think of an immediate rematch. But that's a very good point. I don't want to see him fight Yair Rodriguez now. It doesn't make sense as much as it does to do this.
Mm. He was saying before
Islam,
the fight.
Who are we going to see Islam fight?
That's what I'm saying. No one. Who? Who? There is no one right now.
People are going to say, what about Benil Dariush? Okay, cool. But he's got
Charles Oliveira.
And if he loses that, then there's no point. If he beats Oliveira...
It doesn't make sense to do still, any other fight except the immediate rematch.
Away. So let's talk about now, next 3 or 4 months, run it in Abu Dhabi or somewhere where it's kind of like we've had one each. You get me? Because Abu Dhabi is, what's the name's territory, isn't it? Islam's. So run it there and have one each. Like, you know, my favour, your favour. Now we're both going to...
And then do the third in the States and call it a day.
Do the third on the moon.
Yeah,
to make it completely neutral. You get me?
It could have gone either way, depending on how you score the fight. The way I score it, the way I saw it, I don't think it could have gone either way. I don't think so. I think there was a clear winner.
I think it's a very bold statement what you're saying. I do see your point. I understand why you're saying.
I get why people say that Volkanovski won, because I understand how sports works in general. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan for first and foremost. That's what I said before. I get why you think Volkanovski took that fight, but he didn't. Yeah. Strip away everything. You might hate me. You're gonna start cussing me in the comments. I've had people on TikTok say, "You don't know shit about boxing. You're a casual." Listen, mate. I study the sport. I watch every fight. I watch everything. I watch every video. I watch every bit of MMA or boxing, combat in general. Mm-hmm. I'm an encyclopedia. You can't touch me. Just because I haven't fought in the UFC doesn't mean I won't thump you in.
I'm getting really angry now, bro. I'm getting really annoyed
because I hate when people try and question
that, that comment there. How many fights have you had? Shut up, man.
You watch football matches.
You don't know how many I've had. Let me, number one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Number two, how many have you had? Like, don't come with that. I've got an opinion. I'm just voicing it online. You're doing the same thing, but in the comments. Get out of here, man. Get out of here, man.
Do me a favor, please. Get out of here. Get out right here, man.
No, but that, you know what? That's so true. That really annoys me when people come out with that.
Stupid comment.
How can you talk? You've never fought. How can you do that? All right, cool. You go to a restaurant, you don't like the food. Are you a chef? You've never cooked that meal. Don't come to the chef and say, I didn't like your food. Go to the butcher shop and didn't like the way you cut meat. Are you a butcher?
Skin off, mate.
You asked for a skin fade to give you a dead fade. You're not a barber, so why are you commenting on what he did? Allow it. Yeah, we could put that all, into everything.
Yeah, we can all sit back and say what we saw, whether it was good or not. And if our opinions differ, they differ. Like, that's normal. But yeah, man. Volkanovski did lose on paper. It was super close. He made an amazing, amazing account of himself. Gave an account of himself, which was fantastic. I like your point of an immediate rematch. We need to see that next. Let's ask Mr. Dana White for that, because that would be brilliant.
Yeah. Guys, listen. Before you go again, I said it earlier, I'll say it again. Comment, like, share, and make sure you do subscribe. Follow us on all the social media. Yeah, thank you for listening.
We're on TikTok, by the way. Said it a couple of times. We're on Instagram, you know. We're on YouTube, probably where you're watching this. We've got an audio version on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and all them things there. We're everywhere. So share us. It's been a pleasure. I've been your boy, Fat Mouse. This has been episode 60 of the Sweet Science Podcast. Who you been?
I've been Kashki.
Volkus Kashki.
Now I've been Cash with a K, not a C.
Peace.